right, good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just good old cornbread fed singing. And hey, it sounded professional too.
Amen.
That's a blessing all the way around. Don't you hate to be able to listen to some of them singers, you know, that come in and they act like that they've got too much starch in their underwear. And I like these old cornbread-fed boys and girls, men and women. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. In chapter number 11, you find the place, if you're able to stand, then you can. We'll read beginning in verse number 5. The Bible said, "But thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how that the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing to the eyes of them that behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, and yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. And all that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now, tomorrow's Memorial Day, so this is our memorial service that we generally have. And I want to say thank you to all of those that are in the military, that are in law enforcement, and I appreciate your service, I really do. I realize that on Memorial Day, for those that died on the battlefield, died in military service, died giving their lives, and in some battle, or some at home, some abroad, and I remember that we're remembering those that gave it all. Let me say to you that war is an ugly thing. And make no mistake about it, that whenever you look into the Bible, over in Matthew 24, don't turn there, but in verse number 6, Mark 13, verse number 7, you'll find that there's going to be wars and there's going to be rumors of wars until the Lord shall come again. I begin to think about, you know, and here we are, I don't know how you feel about war in the military. I would to God that America had the respectability and the strong military that we used to have. And I think that it's been foolish, and they've gone contrary to God by weakening our nation. But make no mistake about it, I'm not wanting them to all of a sudden inaugurate the draft, you know. I'd like to get rid of the idiot in the White House and all of his cohorts and that laughing-looking jackass of a woman that they call the vice president. Can y'all hear me all right in the back? I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, that if you were to have to send all these young men right here into battle, it'd make you feel somewhat different. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, is that man too long has forgotten. You know, life is short, death is sure. I told you earlier that I'm 73, and some of you look younger than that, and you may be a little older, but I'm going to tell you, it just seemed like but yesterday, my wife, if we live to be until August, we're going to, in August 16 of this year, we'd be married 55 years. It seems like but yesterday that we looked at each other and said, "I do." I'm going to tell you, I wasn't like that man that stood there and he said, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife and so forth and on to have a whole sickness and death till death do you part?" "Oh, well, you see, Reverend, that be my intentions at this time." I got to tell you right now, I never for one minute thought, I'm glad she's kept me all these years. Because I'd hate to have another woman beat me over the head trying to retrain me. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I want to say to you, there's a happy time that you and I have learned to live. You ever hear anybody, my daddy used to say it all the time, and you can't do this. He said, boy, if I could call back a few years. Yeah, but honey, you can't call back no years. See, I got to tell you right now is that there's a lot of yes, ands, and buts. But let me tell you right now, it's a happy time. Listen, are you married? Well, rejoice and be glad in it. And not only that, you know, I realize, you know, that probably you're maybe in a training stage of marriage. Sometimes it takes a woman a little while to get you trained. Maybe it's a man trying to train you. I just said all that to say this. It ought not all be training. It ought not all be tough. That'll be a happy time and a glorious time. Because, you know, marriage is that one of these days you'll probably end up being parents. In this lesson, now you know, a lot of times, and all the people we got, and as many kids as we got here, over 23 of them that were standing up here the other night in that school play, you'd think whenever I said something about parents, people would have said amen. I want to say to you that somebody that we're looking at here on the battlefield, that boy that went, that young lady that's in service, let me say to you, that's somebody's daughter, somebody's son, somebody's daddy, somebody's mama, somebody's brother, somebody's sister. You getting the picture? You see, you and I may not have anybody that close, but let me tell you right now why life is passing by very quickly in this world we're living in. Now, I'm glad that I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. I've been saved by the grace of God. I hope that's your testimony as well. Now, I want to tell you something. There's been a lot of people that are in the military, and I've lost friends over this. And if I lose you, then it'll still be the truth. But here's what I say. There's a lot of people in the military that know how to yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and that know how to march and be able to walk a chalk line. And let me tell you, they obey all their demands and all their commands. And when they get out, we want to have special services. And they've never walked one inch with God. Now, I don't care what kind of military person it is, and I thank you for your service. But if you die without the Lord, you're going straight to hell without hope and without God. Being in the military and giving your life on the battlefield won't get you saved. Let me say that when you begin to look into it, that there's some happy time, but life is passing by and passing quickly. I tell all these boys and girls that are here, let God speak to your heart while it's tender. Don't harden your heart. Don't bow up against God when he comes knocking. Submit your heart and your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is, there's some horrifying times connected with war. Do you know the world has become more wicked? The Bible said over there in the book of 2 Timothy in about chapter number 3 and about verse number 13 that the Bible said evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. In this lesson you're looking at, the Bible said in Proverbs 4 and about verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. And yet you'll find out there's more wicked paths out there than anything else to be able to choose from. Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. In this lesson, you're going to be able to look at, and I want to say to you, is that I want to name some wars that we've had in days gone by. I don't have time to name all of them, and I don't have time to even reiterate all of them. But there was the American Revolution, 1775 to 1783. There was the War of 1812. That's from 1812 to 1815. And by the way, I want to tell you, these are people that are going into battle. These are people that are dying. These are people that lives are being turned upside down. And there's not one assault rifle among them. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find there was the Indian War approximately. Is that from 1817 to 1898? The Mexican War from 1846 to 1848. The Civil War. And I want to tell you something, is that here we are, North against the South. Now, hadn't the government done a good job just uniting the country? I mean, there's more racism than there's ever been. You're going to find out there's more hate, there's more violence, there's more ugliness. Well, listen, we got people now, you can't even call the cops to your house if you need them, because it's going to be over time they get there when there's an altercation that breaks out. I forget on the news that somebody said they've got in their country is that it's gotten so bad that if you call the cop because somebody broke in, they just tell you, look, if they robbed anything, if they stole anything, just make a list and send it to your insurance company. That's where we're at. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that the Civil War was the bloodiest war in history. You know, there were some 850,000 men and young boys that lost their lives in the Civil War. And let me say to you that, if you will, it was the bloodiest war in history. And make no mistake about it, what a horrible, horrible time there was in America. I want to remind you, there was no assault weapons in the Civil War. Amen. Then you'll find out the Spanish-American War, 1898 to 1902. And then in the World War I, that's from 1917 to 1918. Can I remind you, there's no assault weapon until now, if you're looking at it in that. But when you get to World War II, 1941 to 1945, now there's an assault weapon comes on the scene. AK-47s, and you'll find out in 1944 is when the assault weapon began to get out, get produced, and so forth. And all. I got to tell you right now is the problem in the world we're living in has never been, it's not now that we've got assault weapon. The problem is wicked people that have no fear of God, the Bible, and that have no desire to be good, right, moral, and decent. There was a Korean War that my brother-in-law was in 1964, 1975. Then the Vietnam War. My, the people that lost their lives and those that were left over there because of the fact they couldn't get them out or didn't want to get them out or whatever the reason being. I knew when I was growing up that that was the big thing in the news media of all the prisoners of war that had been left over there that were still captives that we had not yet gotten out. I said all that to be able to say this, because when you look at all of these, and there's many others under that, I'm going to tell you the agony of young men dying on the battlefield and the loss of their limbs and the loss of their lives. I'm going to tell you, you've got a hard heart if you can look at some of these people even now that have lost their limbs and that are walking around without legs and artificial limbs and arms and things of that. And I'm going to tell you something is that my heart goes out to them as I look at them across the country. Now, wouldn't it be awful if they die without the Lord after all they've already come through? I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of limbs and a lot of lives that have been lost. There's a lot of young men that died on a foreign soil who no doubt said, Mama, I just want to be able to come home. And they're not going to. I got to tell you, I don't like to think on it. I don't like to think about it. I appreciate all the service that's been involved in it. And let me tell you, it's been a horrifying time for many people. Last but not least in this lesson, I want to say to you, there's a holy time that's mentioned. There's a passage that we'll look at in just a moment, but I want to look, if you will, please, in this chapter here of 11. And the Bible said in this verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt not find it after many days, and so forth and on. He's talking about sowing the seed of the word of the Lord. And the Bible said in verse 3 that if the clouds be full of rain, and they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north or the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. Now I'm going to tell you, if you die lost without God, when you die, you're going to never have a chance to be saved. Now listen, if you're saved, you're saved throughout all eternity. You're saved by the grace of God. Why would a man want to die? Remember whenever God screamed and called out to Israel and says, why would you die? I've given you a choice. I choose you this day. Joshua said, whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And God asked Israel, why will you die, O house of Israel? I tell you something. It's good to be saved and to know him and the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you that when you look into it, in verse 7 that we've read, the light is sweet. Man, it's good to finally be able to see the direction God's got for us. There's a passage in the book of Luke, and you can turn there if you like, or you can just listen. But in the book of Luke, I want you to look in chapter number 2, and I want you to see that not only have there been horrifying times, but more than just with you and I and people like us. This Bible says in the book of Luke, in about chapter number two, look in verse 25 is where we'll take up. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's a good testimony, isn't it? I mean, Simeon was a just man, a devout man, a man with the Holy Ghost upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms, and blessed God, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother, you know who his father was, God the Father, not Joseph, but that's why he terms him. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. Now pay close attention to the next two passages. In verse number 34, and Simeon blessed them, said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And notice what he tells her. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now you and I talk about it being a horrible time. We talk about being a happy time. We talk about a holy time. Can you imagine how she must have felt knowing this holy child Jesus is set for the fall and the rising again of many, and there's going to be a sword pierced through thy soul when you see what's going to happen to him. Over 2,000 years ago, the war between heaven and hell has been raging. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when man sinned against God by taking that forbidden fruit. But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who was born here of a virgin, and that finally grew up, and that his own mother witnessed going, no doubt, to the cross, and the agony that had to be in her heart and her soul. And yet she knew the holiness of God. And as Jesus bowed his head and said, it's finished. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know this morning that I'm heaven bound and hell proof because of the grace of God. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. God's been tugging at your heart about it. What are you waiting for? See? You don't have to die without hope, without God, but if you die without God, you'll be without hope. Listen, you can die in the Lord and not out of the Lord. If you die without the Lord, you'll spend eternity without God. If you die in the Lord, you'll spend eternity with him. It's with or without. What do you want from him? I wonder here this morning as we think about Memorial Day, and there's going to be some people up and down the road that's going to go out and meet their maker that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Sad, sad that it is. May we continue to sow the seed, give out the message, pray over it. But they'll have to believe it and receive it unto themselves. I wonder this morning, what about you? Where do you stand with God? Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads if you're able to stand. If you're not, you can be seated there. But let's get ready to give an invitation song this morning. We'll get our song director. We'll get these musicians coming. Maybe God's been tugging at your heart. Maybe there's a special need, a special burden that you've got on your soul. May you lay it at his feet this morning. Father, we ask your blessings now upon this message. We pray that, Lord, you'd have your will and your way. And dear God, we pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We want to say thank you for all you've done. And that not only did you give your life, but on the third day you gloriously, victoriously rose again. That whosoever will may come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?